Okay, let me begin with a few a few words, b'derech hachana, these halachas. Okay, before tefila, by the way, all hilchas tefila will apply mitzvah Hashem to men as well. When Mashiach will come, and we'll have to do tefila l'tara. It's not a halacha that's miyuchad l'nashim. The Torah requires before tefila something called iyun. Okay, there are three requirements before tefila: iyun, chafifa, and rechitza. I'll explain all of them. But the first one, iyun, is a chiyuv d'oraisa that people are not aware of. Although it's pretty much academic. The fact is that women are ma'ayin; they check their body for chatzitza because they want to make sure there's no chatzitza. However, iyun is really a chiyuv d'oraisa. Even if Eliyahu HaNavi would come and say that there is no chatzitza on a guf, on a body, there's still a chiyuv d'oraisa to be ma'ayin, for a person to check for chatzitzas. Ad kedei kach that the Neid of Yehuda holds that if a woman is tovel without checking, without iyun, and then afterwards realizes that she wasn't ma'ayin, she didn't check herself, and checks herself afterwards, that she needs a new tefillah, even if she finds there was no chatzitza. According to the Neid of Yehuda, with a bracha, l'maisa not, because it's not so pashut like the Neid of Yehuda. That is ma'akev b'di'evit. Ma'isha appears to disagree, and there are other achrayim who seem to disagree. But ad kedei kach, I just want to show you at hechon advar magiim, iyun is a chiyuv d'oraisa to check the body.
Now, someone else, like the mikvah lady, does the
iyun nowadays? Well, it's interesting. The way the mikvah ladies do today, it's not so. The iyun is not, she doesn't. She usually checks the most the nails. The way it would be optimally is that there would be an iyun, that there would be a checking by the mikvah lady. But it's a case where women today are easily offended, and for that reason the women in the mikvah feel that, you know, they don't want to look like they're checking on them.
And why for that are you checking the nails for the iyun?
Checking the nails is iyun, but you need iyun on the whole body. Now, the question is how iyun is accomplished on parts of the body that a person can't see, like the back. And the Taz's lashon is lehistrichuha. It didn't require iyun for it's enough to wash the back, but not to actually check it visually.
If it's deraisa,
what does it mean lehistrichuha? What's pshat in the Taz? So I would suggest, I don't know for sure, but my guess is, since menat Torah, chatzitza is only a chatzitza if it's on raiv haguf, if it's on raiv of the body, that's menat Torah. The chatzitza, so memela, for the d'oraisa, it's enough to check raiv haguf, which a person can see visually. That's enough menat Torah. For the drabanan, salayit shrichua, to check the back and the parts of the body that are not can't be seen visually, so that would already be full under a drabanan, the extension of a d'oraisa, and that chazal weren't mechayiv. That would be my assumption as to how to learn the Taz.
You mean time begin with a mirror?
Yes, you can. Leis shichua. That's what the Taz says. Taz doesn't say you can't. He says leis shichua. They didn't require you. Somebody else could check. So that's the first requirement is iyun, to check the body. The second one is chafifa. Chafifa, according to most Rishonim, is a halacha which applies only to the hair. Rashi in the Gemara always says chafifa means aguf. But most Rishonim say chafifa means the hair, means combing the hair. That a woman has to comb out the hairs. And again, chafifa is ma'akev. And the hairs are supposed to be combed out when they're wet. When they're wet with warm water as opposed to cold water. And that's the chi of chafifa. And then the third is the chi of rechitza, of bathing.
What's the chafifa supposed to do? Take out dirt?
Supposed to break up the hairs. Supposed to separate the hairs, yeah. Supposed to take out dirt as well.
Cold water would be enough in the
oven? It says not to use cold water for chafifa. In Shulchan Aruch it says hot, and the Chachmas Adam writes, in parentheses, paishrim are also good. Warm is also good. Cold water tends to harden skin or hairs. It doesn't make things as easy to come off. Rechitza is bathing. And really, the chiyuv rechitza is only in the mekaymes hakmatim, really only in the parts of the body where there are folds, where dirt gets stuck, which would certainly include under the nails or the underarms, parts of the body which get dirty. The bathing that today the women are noyig to take a bath before going to the mikveh is not a chiyuv. Not a chiv d'oraisa, not a chiv d'rabbanan. It's a minig type that the women take a bath. Many mikvahs require that the women take a bath for at least 30 minutes. Many kallahs are taught in kallah class, 30 minutes a bath, and they take a watch and they time it. But you have to know that there's no such halacha requirement as a 30-minute bath. If a woman comes out, she's not sure it's 30 minutes or 25 minutes. Sometimes somebody rings the bell, knocks the door, and a woman is ashamed to stay in the bath so long. If it's not 30 minutes, so it's not, it would be a halacha 30 minutes, so it would have to be 30 minutes, not 29. But it's not a halacha, it's a minig toiv of the women to bathe. And it's not a, strictly speaking, an obligation. Woman is obligated to wash, mekaymes hakimotim, the mouth, the parts of the body that become folded up. But there's no requirement to take a bath. I mean, actually, hapi halacha, a shower is certainly sufficient. But it's a minig toiv, it's a proper minig. I don't mean to take away from it that women do, in fact, take baths. One nafkamina, what I'm telling you, and this is it's a common, especially on Fridays, especially with women who work, or even women who are home, and the children are home in the afternoon, where it's just not practical to take a bath for half an hour in the afternoon. So, lemaisa, a woman could certainly take a bath in the morning of the night she's going to the mikvah. For whatever reason, it's difficult for her to take a bath that evening. She can take a bath in the morning, and then before going to the mikvah, or at the mikvah, to rely on a shower for the ikar adin, which, and she'd have to be careful in the shower to comb out her hair, as chafifa is required. I don't mean to be makel in that, but in the bath, the half an hour bath, that l'chadchila, a woman should do it the way they do it right before the mikvah. But in a case where it's difficult, a woman could certainly do it in the morning and take just a shower before they go to the mikvah afterwards. In the mikvah, they take a shower. Yeah, the mikvah beforehand, they would take a shower anyway. They would have to just spend the extra time and be extra careful, being that they did not just take the bath, and to check over all the mekaymes haguf. All right, so this is the requirement before mikvah. The rule, as far as chatzitza, and this is a rule that should be on your fingertips, it's in mayid, it's something we should know. Rubai umakbid chaitzitz min atayra. That means min atayra, chatzitza is only chatzitza if it's either on rive of the body. Rive means rive of the body, or rive of the hairs. Let's say rive of the hairs on the head would have a chatzitza. Then it's a chatzitza only if it's rive and makbid. And the woman is makbid, it's something she would not normally leave there. Something a woman is not makbid on is not a chatzitza. So minatayra, you need rive and makbid. Midrabanan, so the Gemara says, gazru al rubai she'enai makbid, atu rubai ha-makbid. So if you have just rive of the body, which is rare, that a woman should have chatzitza and rive of the body, but rubai ve'enai makbid, or miyutai umakbid, even if it's a small part of the body, but a woman is makbid, so that's a chatzitza midrabanan. Okay, miyutai umakbid, of course, is the place where the problems come up, where you have a small chatzitza, the cases we're going to discuss. It's not rive of the body, but it's makbid. It's something a woman would be makbid to remove. So then that is a chatzitza problem, and that's most of what we're going to deal with, are cases of miyutai umakbid. If you have a miyutai she'enai makbid, if you have a chatzitza on a mir of the body that a woman would never be makbid to remove, that is not a chatzitza at all, b'di'evit. Women l'chatchila try to remove even miyutai she'enai makbid, but if a woman goes to the mikveh and she comes home, and it's something she would never be makbid to remove, and most women would not be makbid to remove, so then that is not a, it's not a chatzitza problem, b'di'evit, after a woman went to the mikveh. Okay.
What does makbid mean?
Okay, what does makbid mean? No, she would see and take it off? No. Makbid means if there is a time that women would dafka want to have it removed. And the example the Torah buys this from is the Mishnah's case of a ring on a finger, a tight ring on a finger, which is chatzitza. And a woman never removes it, except when she's losha sa'isa, when she needs dough, because the dough gets stuck underneath, or for whatever reason. The only time she removes a ring is when she needs dough for a challah, for bread, or for cake. So then that's called makbid. And from that, the Torah builds out this yisaid, that even if she's makbid sometimes, but makbid means she dafka removes it, then that's also called makbid. Okay, if it's a chatzitza, which a woman would sometimes want dafka to remove, then that is called makbid. Okay, yeah.
I mean, is there ever a case where there's a ring that a woman never takes off? They can
probably not. There's probably no case of a ring, but there are some people who have rings, wedding bands, and it grew onto their finger, and then it doesn't come off.
Right.
And they leave it on all the time. If she's never makbid, and if it's, we consider it normal, if a woman just says she's not makbid, it's not normal, it wouldn't be. But if we can consider that normal, then that would be a case of miyutai she'enai makbid, which, if it's possible to take off, should be removed anyhow. It's not the best situation, but the evidence would not be a chatzitza.
Do we take into consideration most women or...
Both. Okay, depends on this woman and on most women. Okay, so that's sometimes a little hard to gauge. I once had somebody... called me. His wife went to the mikveh, and he called me and told me that she still had some nail polish on her finger, on one nail. So it seemed to me, it's chitzitza. A woman wouldn't leave one nail polish on one nail, right? So it seemed to me strange that a woman, I mean, a nice Yisrael would miss nail polish on a nail. And
The mikveh lady.
So I asked, how did it happen? So he told me that, well, she had a new color that she wanted to try out. So she dabbed it on one of her toenails to see the color. And then she just forgot about it. And 2 or 3 weeks later, went to the mikveh. I said, I told him, it's a toenail, it's a different story. A toenail, it's hard to say specifically, but I think most women are ain't a makbid. She certainly was ain't a makbid. She left it there for weeks. Most women are ain't a makbid. Even though women maybe who go with open toes would maybe be makbid, but I think it would be considered normal. It's not abnormal for a woman not to be makbid. And for that reason, I think a person could be makel in such a case. But the evet, that's called ain't a makbid. So it's important. I mean, he didn't tell me a toenail. I asked him why he didn't tell me a toenail. He said it was a little shame to say on a toenail, right? but that was the whole point. So it's again, that's the rule. The rule that you have to know. The rule is rubai hamakbid is min ha-tayra, it's chaitzitz. Miyutai hamakbid or rubai she'en hamakbid is chaitzitz midrabanan. Miyutai ve'en hamakbid. So that is not a chatzitza b'di'evet. L'chatchila, we try to remove any type of chatzitza at all. Okay, but I just told you it's pretty much the first page here. On this page, it's just an interesting thing that I'll point out. When we learned the Gemara, we had a big difficulty. The Gemara talks about knotted hair as being a chatzitza, b'di'evet. It's very hard for me to picture a knot in a hair that could ever be rive. It talks about rive. How can you have knots in hair that are rive?
I think Rashi said that.
What does Rashi say? Rive sarash of a rive. So what does that mean? It's a hard Gemara. Because every time you make a knot, you have more exposed surface than covered surface,
you
right?
The subways.
What?
You don't ride the subways.
Oh, the way the ladies there make knots in their hair. Okay. No, all right. It means the way the in-style knots. Okay, you're right.
What do you mean, rive?
I always wondered. Rive, pashtus means, rive is rive of the body or rive of the hair. How is it possible? The Gemara has a case where rive of a woman's hair is a chatzitza because of knots. How can you make knots in your hair that it should be rive of the surface of the hairs?
Each hair by itself is knotted?
What?
Is that each hair?
Let's say each hair by itself is knotted, but each hair by itself is still rive exposed.
If it's a few together,
then it's not. Then it's not because the water gets through.
In your case, it's not.
Yeah, that's true. So I don't know.
Meanwhile, anyway.
Okay, I don't know. It's to me very strange. Fasemis on the Gemara is says that it's mashma. If the hair has one knot, the whole hair is considered. But it's very hard to understand. It's not a gela ma'isa because really we don't. It doesn't matter to us if it's rive or not. But I've been learning the Gemara. It was something that's very difficult to understand. Okay, let's go straight to number 2 for the second page. See how much of this we can get through. Some of the points are more shchiach, some are less. They're pretty much. I try to include everything. That comes up. Okay, this is broken down by the parts of the body. Okay, so we have your hair and then eyes, ears, etc. Okay, a hair. Hair must be washed with warm or hot or warm water and combed while it is wet. If one neglected to do so, the tefillah must be repeated even if no chatzitza was subsequently found. Okay, it's important halacha. Chafifa is takanas ezra and chafifa is ma'akev. If a woman did not comb her hairs before going to the mikveh, so a woman is required to be tayvel again, even if there's no chatzitza. Like I told you, by iyon is a chiyuv no matter what. Chafifa is a obligation no matter what. Now, long hair is not a chatzitza, even if someone plans to cut it. That's igris ma'isha. I mentioned this last week. That even though there's a concept that anything that's oimid liktzayitz kikatzutz, anything which a person plans to cut, it's as if it was already removed. But Rav Moshe writes, and this is based on earlier sources, That's only if it's something which objectively everybody would remove. Just this woman had plans to take a haircut, that does not make it a chatzitza. Even if she made an appointment, she plans to take a haircut. A B, knotted hair is a chatzitza only when each hair is knotted individually, and the individual is normally makbid to remove such knots. Okay? Now this is important, because a woman could come up in the mikveh and find knots in her hair. In 99.9% of the cases, a normal woman who prepares for the mikveh and later finds a knot in her hair, it's not ma'akiv. Because again, it's a chatzitza only where each hair is knotted individually. Okay, if two or more hairs are knotted, then it's loose enough for water to get in. It's only if it's an individual hair. And that individual is normally makbid to remove these knots. Okay, it's not common for that to be the problem. A woman who combs her hair and she finds knots in individual hairs, it's not a problem. Where two or more hairs formed a knot, it's loose enough for water to penetrate. If most hairs in any part of the body are knotted individually, this tuch constitutes a chatzitza. I don't really see how this would ever happen to somebody. If they didn't plan to, that most of the hairs in the body would be knotted individually. It's totally not shvia. How could you do it? It takes a lot of time. That's what I'm saying. It's not. That's not clear. That's especially. It could get tangled and knotted. It doesn't mean a neat knot. It could get tangled and get knotted. But it's rare that each hair would get knotted individually. Which is the point I'm making. That if you have shilas with knotted hairs, it's never. It's virtually never a shila. A bunch of hair, lechatchila, you have to remove it. But the other, it's not a problem. Unless it's something she'd be makbid on. If it's so much hair that she'd be makbid, then it's a problem. A woman comes a hair.
Part of the body, is that collectively as one group? Or each?
No, that I mentioned the hair in the bottom. It's machlokes, but we consider each part separately. That's right. That's a chayach. Because you're right. Because the answer is the chafifa is not because of the chashash of chatzitza. That we don't need Ezra to make a takana. Ezra made a takana that we always have to do a chafifa. That was Ezra's takana. The fact you have to remove chatzitza, you have to remove. Chafifa is a takana of Ezra, just like Iyun is Dairaisa. Even if a woman, Eliyahu would tell a woman that she has no chatzitzes, she starts to do Iyun, it's a Dairaisa. Same thing with Chafifa, it's a takana of Ezra that you have to comb out your hair. It's not enough that Eliyahu Navi would say there's no chatzitzes in the hair. Okay, C, dyed hair is not a chatzitza. Why? If a woman dyes her hair, it's not a chatzitza. One, the dye has no substance, aim by mamish. Now, aim by mamish is a very important halacha besides dyeing hairs, which is not so shriach. But other shilas, which we'll discuss shortly, the concept that dye or ink sometimes considered aimed by mamish, and two, it's considered part of the hair. The shach says that even besides the heter of aimed by mamish, it's considered the dyeing a hair is considered the hair itself. It's not considered something new. D, lice. What?
It's like a bath oil.
We'll get to that. Okay, bath oil is a problem. Bath oil is yesh by mamish. Yeah, it's a problem.
After the bathroom,
the bath oil, the real bath oils, I don't know if they had a little bit of bath oil, but the real bath oils leave a silky finish to the skin. And a woman should not use bath oil when bathing before the mikvah. It should be washed off.
That's the case of Rubai Veinemakvah.
That would be a case of Rubai Veinemakvah. Yeah, that could be a case. Yeah. A D, lice. Okay, when you tell lice to a chassan, he's learning his halachas, he laughs, right? When showers of lice. But in Mitzvah Shem, people have daughters, and they get older, and they come home from school. So lice find their way onto pillows, and very often they climb into the same beds as their parents in the middle of the night. And the pillow is it's a problem. I'm scaring you, right, Mordechai? But lice is a common problem in schools, and lice is a chatzitza. Lice is a problem. Now, and it's a problem which comes up. Women who go to the mikvah afterwards have shilas. Okay, so this is an important halacha. Lice is only miyutai. There's no rive, hopefully, in a person's hair of lice. So what do you have to do to remove the lice? So this important halacha is that you only have to do makbid. What people are normally makbid to do with lice, what are they normally makbid to do? So they go a little crazy, right? And they buy what they have, these different special shampoos, and they shampoo themselves once, twice. After they shampoo themselves the way they normally would do it if they had lice, it wasn't a mikvah night. Nobody likes lice. So they get these thin combs, they comb out the hair, and they shampoo themselves the way they normally would do it, and go to the mikveh. And that's not a chatzitza problem. Even if afterwards they find that there's still something there, afalpikein, it's not a chatzitza problem, because makbid means you have to be makbid the way you normally makbid.
But you're makbid, I mean, they missed it.
That's the extent to which to which people are normally makbid under that situation.
One more after doing everything, they'll take that one out.
I understand, but in the present circumstance, that's the extent of the hakvada.
They got a cold now, right?
They have it for a long time. You were just recently exposed to it, obviously. But no, it exists for a long time. I've had it.
I think to make the lice, it's a two-time, it's a two-step
twice,
procedure.
Yeah. Two shampoos.
So Vibachi has to have a second procedure in between the two. Is it considered then a makbid?
Well, no, it's two steps. You do one right after the other, not the way.
Oh, at the same time.
Yeah, it's two shampoos. No.
Maybe because at the time that she stopped, I had enough.
Yeah, this is the way she'd normally be makbid to clean it. Every chatzitza you rub, you eventually could rub everything off. But you stop after a normal time. I understand. Then she would have to remove it.
They should not overuse the medication. Shampoo.
It's not healthy for the brain, right? It leaks in. Yeah, there's a danger that the shampoo could leak in. Yeah.
The Hasidic ladies that do shave their hair, is that all because of these problems?
Probably. Api Nigla, at least. The reason Chassidish women shave their hair has to do with chatzitza problems. I don't know. It's clear that if it's a chatzitza problem, it's clear from the Gemara that the women went with hair. Molda Paiskin. They all talk about women with hair. Nobody mentions. I mean, the Cheshach, no, the Beis Yosef, no one mentions a minhag to shave the hair. So I don't know.
But the rest of the Gemara.
What? What does that do with shaving the hair? That's how the custom started. To make them not attractive, really. So why do they do it for the rest of their life? It's a minhag Yisrael, okay.
And why not the
I thought there's a Kabbalah dikinya has to do with hair also. Here is a davar mace that's yainik from a davar chai. And there's such a Kabbalah concept of...
It would have to be Kabbalah because how about the rest of the goof? They don't shave the rest of the goof, and it's the same, you know.
Do they? Okay, I'll tell you, I don't know. I don't know. It's a minhag. Look, it's a minhag in certain communities, and I. Lysar chatzitza, B. Lysar chatzitza. One must remove the lice in the normal manner, that which might remain after the process. The process does not constitute a chatzitza. It's nyaradei. It's halach and shulchan aruch. Similarly, one who has dandruff must shampoo in the normal manner. This is the Bavi Ashulchan compares dandruff to the lice shaila, and he says the same thing. You shampoo normally. Residual dandruff is not a chatzitza.
And what's there before the chatzitza?
What? Dandruff itself, if it sticks, I don't know, the mitzvah will be a chatzitza if it sticks to the body.
Isn't that more like Haina Rebisai?
I'm not sure if that's Haina Rebisai because people are normally mocked, but all the case of Haina Rebisai are where people leave it because it's the way it comes. Okay, that concept is not where people are trying to get rid of it.
What is dandruff itself?
What is dandruff? We have a doctor
like
here.
Skin that flakes off.
Skin?
Yeah, sure, skin. Skin normally flakes off, but it's an increased rate of dandruff. And different body can handle different.
You get dandruff at skin normally.
Okay, number three, we get to the eyes, ears, nose, and mouth. All right, there are some halachas that are separate for the eyes, the ear, the nose, and the mouth. We'll talk about that afterwards. But first of all, here's a general rule. It's a rule of Beis Hastarim, which you should know. If a woman or man, anybody goes to the mikveh, so we know chatzitz in the mouth is a problem. And when you go to the mikveh, you don't open your mouth. Right? The water doesn't have to go into the mouth when you're tevel. That's because the mouth is considered a beis hastarim. It's considered a concealed part of the body. A beis hastarim, the halacha is, it has to be roi lebi'as mayim, has to not have a chatzitza, but it does not actually require bi'as mayim. A woman doesn't have to open her eyes or her mouth when she's in the mikveh. Okay? This halacha beis hastarim applies to many things. It applies to kelim as well. Your tevel a keli, it might have a chamber inside, and it doesn't require tefillah in that chamber, which is hidden. Are the lumdis?
Not be closed tightly, though.
You can close the mouth. The problem is if a woman closes her mouth more tightly than normal, so parts of the lip which are not a beis hastarim would be covered, which would normally be exposed. So that's why they tell them not to tighten the lips. But in theory, if it would be possible to tighten it without covering more, it would also be okay. There's a question what the lumdis of beis hastarim is. The easiest lumdis to understand is that when the water surrounds the body all around, it's as if it's covering the beis hastarim. Beis hastarim normally is a cavity, but it's still nitfal, it's still in the water of the mikveh. That's the easiest way to understand beis hastarim. Although Rav Maisha learns that beis hastarim doesn't require tefillah at all, he doesn't go with this lumdis, there's a nafkamina in halacha to someone who tevels an urn, an electric urn. Now all the electric urns, like the type we have here for hot water, all come with a warning, do not immerse in the water. Okay, as far as tefillas kelim is concerned, I tell you 100%, you can tevel the urn, you can immerse the whole urn in water, nothing will happen to it, as long as you don't plug it in until it dries. So you leave it for 24, 48 hours, and there won't be any problem with it. I've told many people, many of you, I don't know, anybody here have a short? Did you have a problem? No. I told many people, and I never anybody came back to me and charged me for it, for what I had caused. Okay. So it dries, I mean, what you understand logically, it doesn't make any sense that water could do damage to wiring. It's the problem is that if you plug it in, water would short-circuit the wiring, because water itself could conduct electricity, water, H2O doesn't conduct electricity, but if it easily becomes a conductor, and it could cause a short-circuit by causing electricity to go from one wire to another where it shouldn't. If you shake out the water and let it dry for a day or two, it's not a problem. Ramesha is talking if it's a problem. So Ramesha has a heta with these electric urns. He says, fill up the urn with water outside from a sink. Take a piece of wood or something, fill it to the brim. Put a piece of wood on top of it, turn it upside down, holding it tight. then I guess you have to really get into the mikveh to be able to do this, and then upside down immerse the mikveh, the urn. Now the urn has two parts, right? It has the part that holds the water and the electric component, which are soldered together. So he says immerse just the top half. The electric part doesn't need tefillah, only the top half needs tefillah. Lower it into the mikveh that way, pull away the piece of wood, so now the water that's inside is connected to the mikveh, that's din of mei mikveh, and lower it until the water level reaches the top, it would normally be the bottom, it's upside down, so now it's the top of the part that holds the water, and he says that's a good tefillah. Now the question is, how's it a good tefillah? That top part of the urn has a flat bottom. That flat bottom was not immersed in the mikveh. So Rav Moshe says that's a beis hasdarim. It's not a part that requires tefillah. Rav Moshe holds that that's good. Michas Yitzchak has a tshuva and he says it's not good. Because a beis hasdarim, like a mouth, water doesn't have to go in. But it has to be submerged underwater. And according to Rav Moshe's way, it's lamaisa not submerged underwater. Because there's not water all around it on the part which is covering it. So the
put it like that.
Plastic bag.
If
you could cover, like Ramesh, if you could cover just the electric part, if you could be so exact, yeah, Nachinami, it would work.
What air bubbles that collected that they're inside?
That's why the air bubbles are a problem, which is why you can't just take it, put it in upside down. There'll be air inside. Why is it an air chatzitza? In a base of starim, it's not a problem, but it's not a base of starim. It's an open problem.
Water could get there.
A nigla needs actual water. It doesn't need roil. Roil, b'yas mayim, is a mouth, which is base of starim, which is a closed pot. At least by most people, the mouth is closed most of the time. So it's a base of starim. It doesn't need. But the pot that's normally open...
It would be. A bubble there would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it called a roil, b'yla, and b'yla, not kevah, spot? No.
So therefore,
why do you have to have the whole thing to be covered? Let's say the mikveh. And why does it have to be so?
You're talking about the base of starim or not the base of starim?
Base of starim. Otherwise, the whole world is covered.
That's a question in what the lumd is. This is what you're saying is like Rav Moshe, that a base of starim does not actually need to be surrounded with water. That it's enough. That's pata mitvila. And the way Michas Yitzchak is learning, base of starim, the pshat is it has to be surrounded by water. And all right, if you understand like Rav Moshe, fine. In Lumdis, I would really understand more easily, like the Michas Yitzchak, because it's hard to understand why it should be Pater Mitzvah. Right, this is the halacha of Beis HaStarim. Now let's look at the leniencies, A, on number 3. There are two coolest that are negated to Beis HaStarim. Number 1, a woman who forgot to examine herself to do Iyun prior to immersion, before Tevila, must repeat the immersion even if she subsequently found herself to be free of any chatzitza. Okay, as I said in the beginning, Iyun, checking the body is ma'akev. Certainly, if she's still in the mikveh, it's not hard for her to tevel again. Certainly, she should do like the night of Yehuda and be tevel again. But regarding the Beis HaStarim, however, if one erroneously neglected to examine these areas prior to tefillah, it's sufficient to do so subsequently. Okay, in the mouth, there's no chiyuv Iyun. There's just a chiyuv, there shouldn't be a chatzitza. So let's say a woman forgot to clean her teeth, forgot to clean out her mouth, she was tevel already, so she can check her mouth afterwards, and then that's good enough. It doesn't require the Iyun Kledim Tevila.
What about braces?
I'll get to braces. Braces are a major problem. We'll get to braces in a little while. Okay, braces really you have to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. A woman has to ask a shayla. A married woman needs braces. They're serious shayla chatzitza.
Good. Okay. Is there a difference between needing braces and wanting braces?
It's a difference with why you need the braces, yeah. I think so. That would define the makbinah. Stitches as well. We'll get to it. Okay, number 2. Oh, here's a case that comes up where, excuse me, of all these cases, the one case which does come up is a woman who forgets to remove her contact lenses before she's tevel. A contact lens is probably considered makbid. There are times when a woman would remove a contact lens. And therefore, is a shayla, a contact lens l'chayr is a chatzitza problem. So Rav Moshe has a few truvis. You'll see a few of them are noted here, where Rav Moshe holds a chiddush. Then in a beis hasdarim, that the eyeball is a beis hasdarim. When you close your eye, you tevel that way. In a beis hasdarim, something like a contact lens, which is not glued or stuck to the eye, it just swims on the eye, does not have a halacha of chatzitza. Okay, that's true. Rav Moshe Zatzal held that only something actually attached to a beis hasdarim is a chatzitza, and not something placed there. Therefore,
what's the difference?
A coin lying in the mouth, which Rav Moshe brings from a braisa, if a woman's tevel, she has a coin in her mouth or something in her mouth, or a false eye or a contact lens, or certain types of earplugs, depends how the earplugs are made and where how far in they are not chaitzis b'di'evit. That's Rav Moshe's chiddush. I wrote in brackets, you should ask a shayla. I don't know if all the contemporary places can pass me like Rav Moshe. But Rav Moshe holds that something like a contact lens is not a problem. Again, if a woman's in the mikvah and she realizes it, there's no big deal. She can take the contact lens out and tevel again. If a woman came home already and she remembers that she had her contact lenses on when she was tevel, so one could certainly rely on Rav Moshe. I think mentioned many times that Rav Palm always says that kedaihu Rav Moshe lismachalav afilu b'dayraisa. By the Rabbanan, certainly we could rely on Rav Moshe, even if others argue. I'm not sure if they argue with him. But this is a shayla of a Rabbanan. It's miyutai. It's a miyut of the guf. And we'll collide. So you have to look. Rav Moshe has tzadik ches, the kuf beis, four consecutive tshuvas. Five consecutive. Because it's not stuck to it. It's considered royal of bias mayim. Where you need bias mayim, so then it's a problem. You don't know that there was bias mayim there. But when you need roi, that's considered roi. The eyeball is still called beis hasdarim. It says nalach shiva is not required to open her eyes. Mm-hmm. Okay, and eyes are even something which are really open most of the time. Not but can have beis hasdarim.
Normal.
She could, but she's not required to. She can open her mouth too, but she's not required to.
Okay.
What? Men, yeah, men for tefillah sanoshim, certainly a man who's afraid, we can wear it. Not everyone's for going to the mikvah on Shabbos. If it's a warm mikvah, it's a question. Is that different from
Erev Yom Kippur?
Well, yeah. Erev Yom Kippur is the one time that for a man it's really the most stringent requirement of going to the mikvah is Erev Yom Kippur. It's the guy in them used to make a bracha. There's a period where they made a bracha on tefillah men, on tefillah of Erev Yom Kippur. Because it has a din of a mina kavua, and even though we don't make a bracha, but a person should be extra careful. A man, as far as Tefillas Ezra is concerned, which men should try to keep, I think a person can leave the lens in. I mean, because you're afraid to take it out, you can, certainly can.
You are looking to it, by Tefillah of Balik Roy, and he has the two sheets, man.
Okay. Are we talking about Shabbos or
Chatzitza?
I got a Chatzitza?
Yeah.
Okay. Someone went in with their eyes open. The fact that their eyelids are rolled up, would that be considered a
chatzitza? That's an interesting question. Someone went in with their eyes open, would the rolling up of the eyelids be a chatzitza? I would assume not. It's kematim in a normal manner, so I would assume not, but I'd like to see it inside. What?
Should we not the space of starim?
That's also a base of starim.
Because the eyes usually open.
And a kematim, I'm usually not given a title base of starim. The underarm's not called a base of starim. So I'm not sure.
Forced open, like it's held open naturally. Forced open could be
All right. Forced open could be worse.
Yeah.
Shouldn't any make them at all?
I would imagine someone who's tabled with their eyes open has to force them open. I don't know, it's easy to do.
What is Tefillas Ezra and Gabi Anoshim?
Tefillas Ezra is a minik taiv, a minik
amur. What is it? When?
Tefillas Ezra is after bia. Anytime after a person has a seminal excretion, after Zera comes out, then Tefillas Ezra made a takana that men are required to do and they can't go to davening the next day until they do it. Later, the Takana Ezra, for whatever the lumbus is of tefillah, was made not mandatory. Okay, and therefore today it's not mandatory api halacha. But even the Litvish Gedolim, I remember sometimes I was by Rav Moshe. There was a fellow who used to drive Rav Moshe, and the times he used to dive in an MTJ, who had the kviyas to drive him, a Rav, a Lower East Side Rav. I asked his son to ask his father if Rav Moshe goes to the mikvah in the morning. I was curious before davening. So he told me that, and this boy was a bacher, he didn't know what he was saying, but he said his father said that he went very often on Sundays, and occasionally, once in a while, he went during the week. Like once in a while, we tell him to go during the week. And the reason is pashit, ayin es tam l'chacham is m'shabbos l'shabbos. So Sunday morning, Shabbos, he didn't go to the mikvah, and the gra was makbid that you don't go to the mikvah on Shabbos. So Sunday morning he would go to the mikveh, and then I guess, I don't know Rav Moshe's personal life, but occasionally during the week it would come out that he would go to the mikveh.
Is that lack of tzniut?
No.
No?
No, there's nothing wrong with, if you want to go to the mikveh every day, then you have no shayla of the lack of tzniut, but I don't think so. I mean, it's maybe a lack of tzniut for us to analyze how Rav Moshe went, but the point I want to make is that Rav Moshe, that the literature Gedolim also was Zohir in Tefillas Ezra.
Does it mean over some of these chatzitzas?
Does a man have to be makvid? If a man doesn't have to go to the mikveh, he doesn't have to be makvid. But if it's a miyuta, you have makvid, then why not? What?
The
Bir Alocha, yeah. Of course, he'll say Dayan, probably.
at the end of your question.
Yeah. Is there any cutting nails with the babble?
No, you're going to see. We'll talk about cutting nails. You don't have to cut your nails. Unless they're so long that it's abnormal. The nails are really not a chatzitza.
Okay.
Tefillas Ezra, but it's not a chatchila. Tefillas Ezra, you could be yaitzit Tefillas Ezra with Tisha Kabin. Tisha Kabin means, according to Sefer Taras Mayim, Rav Moshe has a tshuva. I mentioned the Sefer Taras Mayim is an encyclopedia on Hilchos Mikvayos. It's written by Rav Telushkin, who was a rav in Russia. He writes in his Hagdama that the reason he was Zaycha, the Sefer Taras Mayim, anybody who builds Mikvayos, it's like the guide. I once, Rav, from Breuer's community, Rabbi Posen, I once went with him to the country, and he was going up. It was before the summer. He checked all the Mikvayos in the country. The one Sefer he took along was not a Shulchan Aruch. He took along a Taras Mayim, the Sefer. He writes in the Hagdama to his Sefer that the reason his Sefer was so makubal is because after the revolution in Russia, he stayed there for about 15 years. He was Maisa Nefesh. He traveled community to community building secret Mikvayos in Russia so that that last generation could still have Mikvayos. And he says that that was his chus, that his Sefer was makubal. It went through numerous printings. The one I have at home is a fourth printing. So it went through. But he was Lubavitch as well, yeah. Okay, he had to put that in. But he was Lubavitch, and he lived near Tar Vadas, as a matter of fact. Rav Palm was close to him. And Sefer has a Haskama from Rav Palm's father. And for Rav Hutna, for Rav Moshe, it has a list of Haskamas.
And getting back to that,
So he has a piece on Tisha Kab, and he says that... Oh, so the point I wanted to make, Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Someone asked him, is a shower good enough for Tisha Kab? Tisha Kab, I should explain. Ezra's Takana was that after Bia, a man should either go to the mikveh. If you can't go to the mikveh, so people are not going to go to daven, right? So it's enough to pour Tisha Kabin on the body. Okay, Tisha Kabin is a certain number of gallons of water. So Rav Moshe was asked, is it good enough? Rav Moshe, the Truva writes that the Taras Mayim Paskas is good. I want to tell you the Chiddush. Rav Moshe is quoting a contemporary how he was makshed the Sefer. Taras Mayim says that a shower is good for Tisha Kabin. The way you would have to do, if you want to be Zohar and Tefillas Ezra, it doesn't mean the way most people take a normal shower. Tisha Kabin has to be poured on the head, which means a person would have to go under the water and stand in a position, the Mishnah Berurah says, to stand in a position that the water could get to the whole body, which Mishnah Berurah says to hold your hands this way, in front of you, so that the water could get on you. It depends how strong the water is running, but in 5 minutes, a normal shower is sufficient for Tisha Kabin. It doesn't have to be cold water. It could be warm water. And that would be Yitzhak Tisha Kabin that way. Okay, so a person can be Yitzhak Tisha Kabin. One thing that's not clear to me, Tisha Kabin has to be Mekayach Gavra. The person has to pour it. Turning on the mikveh is good, the water is good enough. Probably the best thing would be, and I'm not clear about this, is that when you first turn it on, the first water should at least hit part of your body as well. Okay, it's an halacha of Bitka Demaya. Somebody, I'm not sure this is required, but somebody should at least turn it on initially, let it at least, you don't want it on your body, because you don't know what the temperature is going to be like. But at least on your foot, that the initial water should be on part of your body, so that the whole water should be a continuation of that. That's a bit complicated in the halachas of grama, but that's the best way. But that's Tisha Kabin. Now, Tefillah says is either Tisha Kabin or mikveh. A mikveh for Tefillah says does not have to be kosher for women. It doesn't have to be a mikveh with a bar of rainwater. It could be any swimming pool is good for it. Even if there's no rainwater there, it's all piped in water. For Tefillah says that's good enough. For that reason, many of the shuls that have a mikveh in the basement, their mikvahs are just plain swimming pools. I mean, not big enough to swim in, but that's all they are, is piped in water. And the reason you have to know this is because when you tevel a keli, many people assume you have a glass to tevel or a metal, you can just go to any shul's basement mikveh. It's not so. You have to go there and see if there's a bar. A bar you would see next to the mikveh, next to the wall of the mikveh, you would see a bar. A bar usually has a slat on it, either metal or wood. You lift that up. Many mikvahs have a bar, but the bar is empty because they're not zorah to keep it full. They built it; it should be kosher with all the hidurim, and then they're not careful. And in many mikvahs, you pick it up and you have to check if the bar is full. When they pour the concrete for the bar, every bar that I'm familiar with, they make a mark, a concrete mark on the side, a line for the water level. So if you open the bar and the water looks low, you look in the side, you see a line that's lower than that. That's very often a sign that there's a problem with the bar. And I'm talking about tefillas kelim; that could be a problem. Best thing is to tevel a keli in the bar rather than in the mikveh for halachic reasons. But you do have to check it. I saw one mikveh, I think here on East 23rd or 24th.
And you?
No, between N and O. Got his name. What's his name? Rabbi Ziegelbaum. And if I'm not mistaken, I was once there and he showed me he had a built-in alarm. That if the bar went below the line, it rang. and it wasn't like a fire alarm, it was just it buzzed or something, that if the bar went lower, that he would be aware of it.
Ashoka
works for Kalim.
So why is
it better to tevel in the bar than in the mikveh? If they open up the hole to attach the mikveh to the bar, so then the mikveh is just as good. There are two answers. One answer is they're not always careful to open the hole. Okay, they replace the water, and who replaces the water? They hire a shamish to replace the water. They're not always careful to do it. And the second thing is that there is one shita brought down in the shach, which we don't paskin like, but it's a hider, that hashoka has to constantly be open for it to be good. And even though by nashim we're makbid on it, that the hole should be open, that's why they have two bairis, one with the hole open, one with it closed. And since the hole that connects the bar should always be open in the mikveh, for men, they're not going to do it. Because just like the water in the mikveh gets dirty, they replace it. They don't want the mikveh in the bar to get dirty. It's hard to replace it. So they open it, let the water touch, and then close it again. It's a hider to tevel back in the original bar. So, but it's not api halach. If you already tevel in the mikveh, it's good, assuming the mikveh was once open.
But even a person also?
Person, no, don't go into the bar. You might be in for a big surprise. You know how virus are sometimes made?
Broken glass in the bottom?
There's broken glass in the bottom. Besides that, sometimes people drop things into a bar and they climb in after it. You have to really be careful because we should want to learn Hilchas Mikvais. It's a very complicated topic. The way we make our Mikvais, we don't have one bar. We have two Bairis. There's a reason for it, which is a little too complicated to get into. We make two Bairis. Now, there are two ways it's made. Some Mikvais have three Bairis. The women's Mikvais have three. Two side by side, and then two one on top of each other. So a total of three. Top, bottom, and then on the side. And the men's Mikvais, they never make three. They usually make either one, sometimes two. Why do they make two? Because sometimes they want to leave the hole open when they tevel. The top water is going to get dirty, and they want to be able to change it. So they make one on top of the other. Now, the water is going to get dirty from the one on top to the bottom. So there's a kula in the Mishnah that if you have a false bottom to the top one, which is not strong enough to hold a person, if a person stands on it, it will collapse, then that has a din of being attached. And although for the primary bar, we wouldn't be simach on it, for the hider of having a second bar, I'm not familiar firsthand, but Rav Posen told me there are places that do it, that use this. So, you know, a guy climbs in, could be in for a surprise. So you got to be careful. You climb into a bar, the bottom might not support a person. In the men's mikvahs, I don't think they go through this whole hassle. But they might. I don't know, you got to be careful.
If someone has a bathtub that's big enough to submerge himself.
If someone has a bathtub that holds roughly 191 gallons of water, which I don't think most of the bathtubs hold, but if you have a big bathtub, I'm sure if you go down to the Coney Island Avenue where they show these bathtubs, you can find such a thing. So you can have not for nashim, but for nashim, as long as you submerge yourself would be good. But you have to remember, you have to have that much water, and when you submerge yourself, the water's got to stay in. You know, besides the fact you don't want the floor to get wet, I don't know. But yeah, it's not a kosher tefillah if the water's not there. I think the Taras Mayim says 191 gallons. I believe so, if I recall correctly. So that's a lot of water. I think a regular bathtub holds wide about. A normal bath, I think, is 50 gallons. A bath, not a bathtub. A normal bath. When they advertised, when there was a water shortage, they advertised the difference between showers and baths. They said a bath takes, I think they said 50 gallons. Maybe I'm mistaken.
But he wrote the same from Russia. In Russia, I think it's like in Eretz Yisrael.
He published it in the United States.
They have like tanks on the roof to hold the water. So there you have additional carbon coming like from a keli. All in a... It's coming up.
I don't know, I think he would have printed it that way, and I don't think Ramesha would have alluded it to that way. All right, it's something that I would check into. I'm not sure.
It's not coming from Kaylee holding that.
Okay, I'm not sure that there's such a pay that. I don't know. Okay, number four, eyes. Mucus, which is outside the eyeball, is always a chatzitza. No woman is going to leave the mucus on the skin. That's pashit. Now, mucus on the eye, like when you wake up in the morning, there's mucus on the corner of the eye. It's a chatzitza only if it's dry and it began to turn green. Excuse the expression, but that's the way it's brought down the paiskin. If it's clear mucus, then it's not a chatzitza. We assume women are not makbid, so it's miyutai, she'ina makbid. In this case, one should clean the eye and immerse again. If one is unable to immerse again, one may rely on the original immersion because most rishonim rule leniently. Many rishonim hold that even dry dirt in the corner of the eye is not a chatzitza. Again, I think it would depend on the person. Eyelashes and eyebrows should be washed with warm water. I'm not sure everyone's Zohir, I don't know, it's hard to know the meaning in this type of thing. That the eyelashes and eyebrows have to be washed. Okay, if a woman, that's a chachmas adam. Now, if a woman is not makbid till now, so to make her feel a little better, I'll tell her in parentheses the Shivas Tziyin, who holds that it's not so. Okay, Shivas Tziyin Membeis holds it's not makiv. chafifa, to check it, to wash it. I mean, if in fact there's dirt there, it's a problem. That's any part of the body. The eyelash and the eyebrow is no worse. But if they didn't specifically wash it, or as long as the fact there was no chatzitza, so there is a day of the shivasi and that holds that it's not ma'akim.
Chafifa is combing it.
Chafifa is cleaning it out physically, actually going and cleaning it out. It's combing it out, fine. If you don't have to comb, you go like this with your fingernails, it's just as good.
But they wash the face, aren't they going to wash the eyebrows?
Usually they will, yeah. All right, false eyelashes, which cannot be removed, should not be used. In case of necessity, a shayla should be asked. I want to talk about false eyelashes and makeup. It's very important to halacha. Let's just finish. A false eye is not a chatzitza. That's the igris maish I mentioned earlier, because it's not attached. A false eye is not glued to the body. It lies in the cavity. But it should be removed lechatchila except in case of great necessity. Tzvi says that lechatchila it should be removed. Eye makeup, see number 13. I want to deal at length. Makeup is one of the most common shaylos, one of the most common problems. So we'll get to it.
Is there enough kamina if any of these shaylos come up the day after the tefillah?
If a shaylah comes up the next morning, so in most cases, a woman, you have to be a realist. It's a practical thing. You have to know, is it something that came since or not? If she has mucus in her eye the next morning, obviously we'll say that it came later. We'll assume it came later. Anytime we could assume it came later, we would do so, except it's of course not possible. But a woman checked, so we assume that it came later. In fact, it is that way. It's a suffix derabanan. It's muta shena makbid. Okay, it would be rare. There are cases where women come home, and they find, and they call a rav, they came from the mikvah chatzitza, and then they find it later. It does happen, but it's not common. You know, to Rabbanim it's common because they get the calls, but to the people it happens to, it's not.
Even if it's miyuta, it's
still a suffix Rabbanim. Okay. It's, all right, what? It's more than that. There's really, what?
Something she had on her body which from week before. Then she forgot about it the day of the
day. If it's something she's makbid on, it's a problem, yeah. It's a problem, but the other. Miyuta shena makbid is a problem. Not miyuta hamakbid, I mean, it's a problem. Okay, the nose, tzayas hachaitem, is a chatzitza only on the outside of the nose, or if it's seen from the outside, but not in the nostrils themselves. Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes that women don't have to go crazy cleaning out their nostrils, and the same thing about the ears, the next paragraph, because it's only a chatzitza where people could see it. Where people can't see it, so he calls a chalal aguf, not even a beis hastarim. He calls a chalal aguf, a person doesn't have to clean out his stomach. It's a part of the body which is not even a beis hastarim. It's not open to the world. And even though it's possible to stick something up there, but it's not a chatzitza problem. So dirt up in the nostril is not a shayla. Same thing, the ear canal has the same rule as the nostrils. Only what's visible is a chatzitza. Where there's a danger in allowing water into the ear, see the Igris Maishu permits certain forms of earplugs. It's interesting that 100 years ago this was such a common shayla. Many places can talk about women who the doctors say it's a dangerous sakana. Cause the fascists to get water into the air. I don't know today that this.
Why have a perforated eardrum?
Perforated eardrum. That's what's a problem. See, yeah, I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, they treat them,
so it's not a lasting problem.
Okay. There are people who have perforated eardrums.
It's not even now. It's much more common.
Well, and they can never put that water in.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's much more ear infection.
Okay. Okay. So Rav Meisher writes, use an ear plug which he describes, which lies in the ear and is not attached. The Taras Mayim, it's the same Taras Mayim of Rav Talushkin I mentioned earlier in parentheses, he has a very innovative method of dealing with the problem. I don't know if the Paiskin will go for this, but there's an interesting Mishnah, which we would say is not, had nothing to do with Halacha L'maaseh. It talks about Kol HaYotzeh Min HaMayim, creatures, the little types of insects in water that are not a chatzitza in water. It says if you would stuff up a hole in between two mikvahs with something that's Yotzeh Min HaMayim, you have two mikvahs, it's just 20 saw, there's a hole between them, and then in that hole there's a davar hayotzeh min hamayim, one of the insects that grow in the water, even a fish. So the Mishnah says not a chatzitza, because a fish is not a chatzitza in water. So the Taras Mayim wants to suggest making earplugs out of fish skins, and that it wouldn't be a chatzitza, because kol hayotzeh min hamayim. It's a I assume so. I'm not sure when it might be. It's a good question. Maybe once it gets a Shem Michael, it would be different. I don't know. I wasn't mying into it. I don't know.
A new business.
Well, I think the odor would prevent people from using it.
The market is kind of limited.
The market is kind of limited.
Why isn't this earplug, even though it has to be there, and it's made that water should not get through? Why isn't the
container
better? It's not worth it.
Ramesh just has to make it loose in a way. And if you stayed there, the water would leak in. But if you just went in and out, it would prevent the water. That's pretty much what he's describing. And he also says to push it back further in the air, where it's not clear that the chatzitza is even a problem. Those two things together.
I'm talking about going to ear doctors now to put plugs in.
Yeah?
Far in,
where it's not a problem.
I guess far they can get away with.
Okay, cotton, I would imagine, is not a problem anyway. Cotton is royal bias mayim. Right, that would fit Ramesh's thing. If you tie it real quick, the water won't get in. But if you stay it in, the water would penetrate cotton.
Even if it's tight, even if the cotton is tight, it's not.
It's hard to measure what's tight. Like it says something stuck between your teeth that's tight, that's a chatzitza. Ramesh says if you have a coin in your mouth, it's not a chatzitza. Something stuck between your teeth that's stuck, that's a chatzitza. What's considered tight and not? I don't know, you need somebody familiar.
The earplug, we know problem with the motion then. The earplug.
It depends how tight the earplug is. If it's so tight, like something stuck between your teeth.
But they just put in.
Okay, I'm not familiar with
it. So if it's not tight, it's not a problem. If, you put motion,
if it's raw, yeah. If it's certainly, if water would get in, if you stayed in the water for a minute or two, just the fact that you go quickly makes it not go in, certainly, that's okay. Okay, then we're up to the mouth, and I guess we'll break here.